This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome. You're listening to Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. The Reverend Steve Kramer will be conducting our service today. Information on ordering CDs, cassette tapes, and printed copies of today's sermon will follow the program. We are happy you joined us today and hope that you will enjoy the program so much you'll come back again next week for worship with us.
What makes a church congregation work more effectively? Or for that matter, what makes a Christian marriage work more effectively? During today's worship, we're going to take a look at what Jesus has to say about that. So stay with us, won't you?
All hail the power of Jesus' name, when angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Ye chosen seed of Israel's race, he ransomed from the fall. Hail him who saved you by his grace and crown him Lord of all. Hail him who saved you by his grace and crown him Lord of all.
Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball, to him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all.
To him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. Oh, that with yonder sacred throng we at his feet may fall, we'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. We'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all.
We begin this service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Lord, we praise you and worship you this day for your goodness and love. You have provided us with all that we need, food, clothing, home, and family. But most importantly of all, you have given us a Savior, Jesus Christ, who has rescued us from sin, death, and the power of the devil. We thank you, Lord, for your steadfast love towards us. Amen. Our reading for today is from the 13th chapter of John's Gospel, beginning at verse 31. When Judas had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me. As I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I'm going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another."
Thank you.
how do I make this thing work? That's a common question that many of us ask at times. The other day, I was out mowing my lawn, and the mower died about halfway through the job. After checking the gas tank and finding that I was not out of gas, I stood and looked it over for a couple of minutes and asked myself, how am I going to get this thing to work? I didn't know. I'm not handy. So I ran over to my neighbor's house, who knows about these kinds of things, and brought him over to look at the mower. I knew that he could diagnose it and tell me how to get this thing to work. He's an expert. At our church, we have our engaged couples take a 6-week course on marriage before they go to the altar. In that class, we bring them information from experts of all kinds, and we look at Scripture on how to make this thing called marriage work. How do we make this thing called the church work? That can be a difficult thing, many have been finding out through the years. Painful, in fact. If you've ever been in the middle of a church fight, you know what I'm talking about. If you've ever found yourself thinking of your church as the frozen chosen, then you know what I'm talking about. Someone once compared his church to Noah's Ark. He said, if the flood on the outside were not so bad, you couldn't stand the smell on the inside. Making church work can sometimes be hard. So how do we make this thing called the church work? Again, it's important that we turn to an expert and see what he has to say about it. And our expert is Jesus Christ. He's the architect and designer of the church, and of course, he knows what makes this thing called church work. In today's text, he has an answer for us. Jesus was in Jerusalem, in an upper room of a home or a building of some sort with his disciples. It was the night before his crucifixion for the sins of the world. He was with his disciples now, alone with them. The world was on hold while Jesus instructed the disciples. He had just told them that one of them would soon betray him. Of course, they asked who, and eventually Jesus nodded in the direction of Judas and said to him, "Go and do what you need to do." At that point, Jesus announced to the rest of them, "Now the Son of Man," which is what he called himself sometimes, "is glorified, and God has been glorified in him." Jesus was talking about God's plan for him now being set in motion, the plan to go to the cross. "God is going to glorify me, exalt me," Jesus said. But he said to the disciples, "You can't come with me." But in the meantime, and here we see Jesus speaking like a king to his subjects, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." And there's the answer to making a church work from the inventor himself. What's so new about that? It's new because of its radical, sacrificial dimension. As we hear Jesus describe this love in this way, "As I have loved you, love just as I have loved you." The love that Christ Jesus is commanding is not a feeling, but an action. It's not something that you fall into, but something that you decide to do. It's something that he actually had showed them earlier on that evening. At the beginning of chapter 13, there's a story there that the writer John shares with us. And he introduces it by saying that Jesus loved his disciples to the end. And then he drew for us this lovely picture of what Jesus did to love them in that upper room. During the supper, Jesus got up from the table and he took off his outer robe. It was an act of humility, and he tied a towel around his waist. Then, pouring water into a basin, he carried it over to where the disciples were sitting, and he began to wash the feet of his disciples and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. The disciples were shocked, of course, because that sort of a job was a job that was meant only for a servant. Peter protested to Jesus, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus said, "You don't know what I'm doing right now, but later you will understand." I'm sure he was talking about after Easter. Peter responded, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus said, "Unless I wash you, you can have no part with me." Peter then said, "Lord, then not my feet only, but my hands and my head." He was being totally cooperative. And Jesus responded, "That's not necessary. Just the feet will do." When he was done, Jesus sat back down at the table and he taught them. He said, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me Lord and teacher, and you're right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. I've set for you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly I tell you, the servant is not greater than the master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent him." And then Jesus went on to say, "So if you know these things," the things he just taught them, "you are blessed if you do them." Some biblical experts have wisely pointed out that as Christ Jesus was washing those feet, humbling himself like that, he was actually enacting a kind of a parable of how he would later humble himself at the cross to cleanse us from our sins and give us eternal life. For he had come to be the sacrifice, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. "Love one another just as I have loved you," Jesus said. What did he mean by that? Wash feet. He's talking to his church, to us, to Christian husbands and Christian wives, Christian parents and grandparents, all on the same journey following their master, Jesus. "Love one another just as I have loved you," by washing one another's feet. And as you obey this new commandment, everyone will know that you're my disciples. It will be the mark of my ownership on your life. That's what makes the church work, a willingness to wash feet. Jesus knew how those disciples were wired. Someone would always want to be lording it over the others. They had their personal ambitions and had argued in the past about who was the greatest disciple and so on. Human nature is like that. If the church of Jesus was going to remain vital and strong and effectively carry out the mission of bringing Christ Jesus to the world, they would have to follow these instructions, or soon they would fall apart. And so Jesus instructed, "Love one another just as I have loved you. Wash feet." Every one of us who calls Jesus our Lord and Savior are powered to do just that. Listen, we just celebrated Pentecost. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, the power of Christ Himself, empowering us to follow through on what our King, Jesus, has commanded us to do. We can wash feet. We can serve one another and love one another as Christ has loved us. So there we have it. What makes the church work? What makes a Christian marriage work? What makes a Christian family work? It's a willingness to wash feet. The church's motto is to be, as I've told my congregation, "We do feet." Of course, Jesus wasn't talking literally of lining up people regularly and washing their feet. What he was describing was an ongoing attitude, an action of serving. I have a wonderful congregation that has gotten pretty good at foot washing. Let me give you a couple for instances. During this tough economic time, we've had some unemployment in our ranks at our church. People have been unable to pay bills. But I cannot tell you the number of times I've had someone send in a check with a note to me saying, please, use this to help so-and-so to make ends meet this month. And listen to this letter someone sent me a while back. They had their feet washed. Hi, Pastor Kramer, this writer says. I was so excited to come upon the website for Shepherd of the Valley. I tried to email, but don't think it went through, so I apologize if you received this twice. You probably don't remember our family, but we surely remember your people at Shepherd of the Valley. We lived down the road from the church and then moved to River Falls, Wisconsin. God was working through the services as my husband was attending church for the first time in many years. Well, in December, we had a fire in our mobile home we were living in and lost everything. You and other members came and stood with us in the smoldering ashes while we tried to figure out what to do. We were truly homeless. What a humbling experience that was. The people of Shepherd were truly Christ-like. They took care of us. Janine and Keith allowed us to live in the downstairs of their home. People gave us clothes and housewares and money to get started again, as well as Christmas presents for our two small children. It was awkward to be on the receiving end of so much generosity, which is something I can't explain. My little daughter Sarah was in kindergarten at the time. A friend Abby from the church gave her a Precious Moments Bible. To this day, it's the Bible she uses. That time was so overwhelming for us to think that people could be so loving to us. We didn't feel worthy of it. It was just hard to even say thank you. I want to let you know how you and the congregation touched the lives of our people, our family, so deeply, and it will never be forgotten. That's called foot washing, and it has an impact on people's lives. And then there's that day-to-day looking out for each other that I hear about, just the little things. So-and-so wrote me a card, someone might tell me. Or so-and-so's been calling me to check on how I'm doing since my husband died, asking, how are you doing really? At this congregation, we sure haven't arrived. I don't want you to think that. But many of us are learning that there's a great deal of joy in our community when we're about the task of washing feet. Jesus promised blessings to those who would not only know about these things, but actually do them. A number of years ago, I read a book telling the story of the impact of a congregation that was really influencing people in their community as they followed Christ's instructions to wash feet and take care of each other. At one point, the author wrote this statement, which has stuck with me. When people are being loved, word gets around, and people get drawn in. The church that Jesus had in mind has people in it that are not asking, what is the church going to do for me, but what can I be doing for my brothers and sisters in Christ? These instructions from Jesus also were meant for the Christian home as well, kind of the neighborhood church of sorts, in our marriages. Let me tell you about Earl and Dolores. They got married back in the early 50s. They were 20 and 21. They loved each other. They made their vows at the altar, and they kept them. In 1973, Dolores got terribly, terribly sick. She was diagnosed with this awful disease called lupus that can leave a person incapacitated and even destroy some of their organs. For the next 20 years, as she watched her earthly tent disintegrate, Earl faithfully took care of her, seeing to her every need. Without complaint, he served her. The disease wiped them out financially. Earl ended up taking on two jobs on top of caring for his wife. He bathed her, he cooked for her, he saw to her every need. He was a champion foot washer. It was a beautiful witness to the community around him. Marriage author David Mace wrote this: "By their gracious influence, Christian homes win more converts than all the preachers put together. Give us enough of them, and the world would soon be a Christian world, for the world's life rises to higher levels only as its homes do." We Christians bear witness to the world by how we live out our marital commitments, to how we love one another. As we love our wife or our husband as Christ has loved us, we will find ourselves with that promised blessing that Jesus told the disciples about when he finished washing their feet and telling them, "Do this and you'll be blessed." Beloved, and if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you are beloved, the beloved of Christ. He has loved you with a sacrificial love that took him all the way to the cross to pay for your sins and bring you into a saving relationship with the Father who loves you. Beloved, love one another just as Christ loved you. Decide today to wash feet according to our King, Jesus. That's what makes the Church of Jesus Christ work. That's what will make your marriage work. And that's what will make your family work. That motto, make it your own. We do feet. Love one another as Christ has loved you. That's what makes things work. Amen.
Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart, in my heart. Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart. In my heart.
In my heart.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the love of Christ Jesus in our lives. And help us, O God, to walk obediently to His new commandment. Empower us who have received His great love to be channels of His love and mercy in our relationships with one another in the church and in our homes. May our love light shine brightly for the sake of Your kingdom and for the glory of Your holy name. Amen. Now, as you go on your way, may Christ go with you. May He go before you to show you the way. May He go behind you to encourage you. May He go beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over, and within you to give you His peace and His grace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to the Christian Crusaders radio and internet ministry. We pray today's sermon has lifted you up in your walk with Jesus Christ. If you would like to become one of the jewels of our ministry, please call us to learn more about joining our Gem or Gift Every Month Club. And these listeners make a regular contribution each month to support the ministry. Please call us at 1-888-693-2484 to sign up. Or you can direct your gifts to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. What part do emotions play in our relationship with Jesus Christ? Well, Dr. Homer Larson asserts that while emotions may indeed be a part of our faith, basing our faith on emotions can be dangerous. Instead, faith must be built on Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more, order Emotions and Our Christian Faith, Volume 4 in Reverend Larson's DVD video sermon collection, Basic Biblical Truths. This DVD is available for a suggested donation of $10 by calling our office at 1-888-693-2484 or by visiting our website at christiancrusaders.org. If you would like a CD, cassette tape, or printed copy of today's program, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. You may also direct your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Conducting today's service was the Reverend Steve Kramer, Senior Pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in Afton, Minnesota, and Associate Speaker on our program since 2005. Christian Crusaders has been broadcasting every Sunday since 1936.